Good evening and welcome to the Tri-City Amateur Radio Club TipsNet. This is Kilo Charlie 1, Tango Whiskey Romeo. My name is Tim and I'm located in Groton, Connecticut. I will be your net control station for this evening. Membership in the Tri-City Amateur Radio Club is not necessary for participation. Radio amateurs are welcome to check into the net. Those that do not wish to check in are certainly welcome to listen. This net operates on the 147.060 MHz repeater with a PL tone of 156.7 Hz. It is also available on Echolink as W1DX-R, that's Whiskey 1 Delta X-Ray-Romeo. If needed, the secondary repeater we would use would be the 146.67 repeater, also with a PL tone of 156.7 Hz. This net is held each Wednesday evening starting at 7 p.m. local time with various net controllers. This net is intended to provide an informal operating environment for new operators as well as for experienced amateurs. The purpose of this net is to, number one, provide a venue for presenting questions and obtaining answers and advice related to amateur radio, and number two, also to promote good fellowship among amateur radio operators and to encourage the use of good operating procedures. Let me reset the repeater. The TipsNet is a directed open net, and that means we call for a round of check-ins, and when we have everyone checked in, we'll go down through the list for comments and questions. During the check-in, please state if you have any questions for the net. We will ask for those questions when everyone is checked in. There are three sections to the TipsNet. The first, the one that takes the most time, is the open net with rounds of questions and comments, as I just described. Second is a section for announcements about upcoming events and items of interest. And third, there's an opportunity for those that wish to swap, sell, or are looking for amateur radio-related items. Unless otherwise directed, all communication should go through the net control station. When checking into the net, please say "this is" and then release the mic button. Listen to ensure no one else has called at the same time. And if they haven't, then call again and slowly give your call sign phonetically, followed by your name and location, and if you have a question or a comment. Again, this is the Tri-City Amateur Radio Club TipsNet with KC1TWRG Net Control Station. We'll start taking check-ins now. Please come with your call sign slowly.
This is Kilo 1, Delta Charlie Tango, Dave in Preston. No questions at this time.
This is Kilo Charlie 1, Golf Quebec Zulu, Dan in Montville. No questions.
Good evening, here is Kilo Alpha 6, Papa Delta Golf, Kevin in Norwich. And I thought maybe tonight we might want to spend some time talking or making comments or asking questions about this net. But you may have already had that in mind, Jim, I'm not sure. This net being 2 years old as of a couple of weeks ago. KA6PDJ.
Comments and what have you. See how everybody's doing. Kevin said. I can't remember the details because that was last week, but he had asked last week when had the net actually started, and I believe, if I'm not mistaken, I believe it was on approximately May 23rd, and that was in 2018, but maybe it was 2019. So it's been at least 2 years that we've been doing the TipsNet. And I know it started with a great fanfare as a reincarnation of the Technical Information and Public Service Net, which was something that I guess had happened before. And when I came up with the idea of a TipsNet, it was in the idea of saying tips for new amateur radio operators from older, experienced amateur radio operators. So I guess it serves the same purpose. So let's go down through and see what comments people may have today. And we're going to start with Dave. What are you thinking about there, Dave? K1DCT, this is KC1TWR and the TipsNet.
Well, good evening to all. This is K1DCT. Let's see, yes, older experienced hams. So, in other words, has-beens, and that is defined as, I should say experts, defined as X's and has-been, and spurt as in a drip under pressure. So, because I'm qualified. But, what am I thinking about? Well, I'm thinking I got my new 12 volt 35 amp hour battery today in the UPS delivery, so I have solved my battery problem, at least I hope so. So we'll see how it goes. outside of that, not much else to talk about. I guess little antenna party planned, I think now for Sunday, for N3RPQ, so, and I come up with a piece of antenna mask, the old, aluminum, I'll call it Radio Shack mask, because that was the most popular place to get it, so, I probably could add some other stuff, but I gave that up to somebody whose antenna had to touch the sky, so, back to that, K1DCT.
Okay, very good, Dave. Interesting, and I'm glad you're going to help that Lenny out on Sunday. I know Chuck's going to be there, and maybe some other people can show up and give them a hand. Myself, unfortunately, I'll be with the Museum Ships Weekend event, so I can't help, although I had offered to be there, but I didn't realize that it was going to end up being a conflict. Anyhow, I did hear a beep of some kind after you stopped transmitting, Dave, so let me just take this opportunity to ask if anybody else wants to check into the TipsNet, or if there was somebody who needed to make use of the repeater for emergency or priority traffic. If so, please come now with your call sign.
This is November Tango 1 Oscar, Jerry M. Preston. That was not my beep, but I'm taking the opportunity to check in.
Okay, net recognizes Jerry, NT10, the non-beeper. Okay, anybody else want to check in, or whoever made the beep, if they are trying to get our attention, please come now with your call sign. Okay, Ned also recognizes Jim, KC1PIV. Any further check-ins or people who need to use the repeater, please come now with your call sign. Okay, so we've recognized two new people, and I forgot to ask you the obligatory question. Jerry, NT10, do you have any questions to put before us this evening?
I actually have the question I asked last week about using the 35 megahertz business vertical, potentially on 10 meters, although I've been getting a lot of activity on my double-sided G5RV. And if there's time, I have a second question. I've been looking at beams, and I've become quite enamored of the hex beam, something I'm thinking about attempting to build with some modifications. And if anybody has experience or could offer any, just some information about it, that, you know, they've tried it, they love it, they've tried it, they don't like it, whatever, I'd appreciate that. NT10, back to Ness.
Okay, very good. So you've got a question or two. Jim, do you have any questions for us this evening? KC1PIV, KC1PWR.
KC1PIV, yes, I've got a question for the net. It relates to antennas. Tim, as you know, I created a quarter wave ground plane antenna, and I'm seeing some conflicting information on the internet, not really sure what to follow, so I'd love to chat about that.
Okay, so we actually have three questions on the table, and Dan and Kevin, I hope you're going to forgive me. I'm going to skip over you for the moment and go to those that have questions so we can get them started and find out more thoroughly. Jerry, yeah, if you give us your define your question, your first question, we'll save your second question for later if you don't mind, and then we'll go to Jim and get his question. NT10, KC1TWR.
Sure, Tim. The first question that I asked last week for people to think about is my dad had about a 35 megahertz vertical that was for a business band use, and I found that it was in good shape, and I was thinking about trying it on 10 meters. I haven't put it up yet, but I'm pretty sure that I can at least feed into it, transmit into it by using an ATU in front of it. I don't know if I can actually extend it to drop it down to 10 meters, and I was just curious if I'm going down a rat hole here or if anybody had any suggestions on it. That was it for the question for last week. NT10, back to Ned.
Okay, that's a fair question, and we'll put that on the table and see what people think, and then we'll move to Jim, get his question on the table as well. I think we can handle two questions at once. Jim, KC1TIV, please define your question there. It's KC1TWR and TIPSnet.
KC1PIV. So the question that I have is, the conflicting information I'm seeing is when it comes to the actual vertical in the radials. So for example, I've seen some tutorials on creating this antenna where basically they're looking at around 19 inches for the vertical and the radials. And then I found antenna calculator sites where if you enter the frequency, it looks like that the radials are actually almost 2 inches longer than the vertical. So I was curious again as to which I should really be following here, and you know, to try to get the best out of the antenna that I'm building. KC1PIV, back to the net.
Okay, very good. Jim, fair question. And I'll just throw out my 2 cents worth, not that it really answers your question, but my short experience with amateur radio, for every person who says one kind of antenna as the cat's meow, somebody else will say it's garbage, and they'll say that something else is cat's meow, and that first person will say, no, that's garbage. Now, a lot of it has to do with people's experience with it. The environment they put up the antenna has a lot to do with it. And, yeah, experimentation and taking your own readings and all that, you find something that works for you. So let's go back to the top of the list. And, Dave, you're going to get second crack at you're going to get first crack at these two questions. What are your thoughts for Jerry and Jim, K1DCT, KC1TWR, and the TIPSnet?
All right, well, good evening to all of K1DCT. Let's see, Jerry's question about the 35 meg vertical business band. I'm going to assume this is either, you know, like a radome, fiberglass covered antenna with four radios coming out, you know, somewhere near the feed point. A similar type, I'll call it, I always refer to it as a trombone, because it looks like, that's what it looks like. It looks like the slide of a trombone. So either one of those is going to be pretty tough to get a good match on 10 meters from 35 meg. Yes, you could use it. You can use it into a antenna tuner. You can make your radio happy, but it's not... you're never going to get to a real happy spot where you could call out a 50-ohm load. A lot of those antennas were actually pretty tight. You know, it didn't, if there was a frequency stamped on it somewhere, you didn't really want to get all that far away because that was the optimum point. You know, they seem to be much more sharper. What do I want to call it? A sharper happy point, we'll call it, for lack of better brain cells at the moment. So that's my thoughts on that. As far as the quarter wave vertical, I guess you're making this on an SO239 with five pieces of some sort of wire. I've always gone with a little bit longer radials. You know, I'd go maybe around 20 inches. And if you're going to trim anything, trim the vertical component, not the radials, because although there's a balance there, I think if you just trim the actual vertical portion very slowly to find your happy spot. So that's my opinion on that. Nothing scientific, just experience. A1DCT, back to net.
Okay, thank you, Dave, for your comments on both questions there. And, what you said makes a lot of sense to me, but let's see what Dan thinks. KC1GQZ, KC1TWR.
This is KC1GQZ. I'm definitely not the individual to be asking about antennas. You know, I was struggling, still struggle a little bit, but that is one of the advantages of this net. I may not come with a lot of questions, but I do get a lot of good information coming back to me. I know I did go get a tuner and also an analyzer, which helped me a lot on the vehicle mount units a few months ago. But I can't give any expert information. I'm going to rely on you guys to pass that information off. This is KC1GQZ, back to net control.
Okay, thank you, Dan. And yeah, we go down to the list hitting everybody, whether they're experienced or not. And I certainly do not have the answers to either of those questions, but that's fine too. Okay, let's move on to Kevin, see if what thoughts he may have about the 35 megahertz vertical that Jerry's trying to use. tries to get to the 10-meter range, and his thoughts on the quarter-wave ground plane for 2-meter that Jim was talking about, wanting to know about the lower radials, whether they should be longer or shorter. KA6PDG, KC1TWR, the tips net.
All right, thanks, Tim. Good evening, all. Nice to see some more stations come on, and maybe others are waiting in the wings. I'm going to pretty much agree with Dave. I think he covered it pretty well. Before I make any more comments, though, I think possibly of a GQZ that has the beeping radio. Dan, if you're using a Yaesu, and what's that setting, Waze or something, some radios have little things they do when you key them up. I never heard you do it before, so maybe your finger just hit a button. Either way, no big deal, but confuses the heck out of net controls. So leave it on. Don't do anything. All right, seriously. I think the phrase Dave was looking for, and he covered the subject quite well without using the buzz phrase, was that those antennas, businessman antennas, have a pretty high Q. So they're pretty narrow in their efficiency. That being said, I wouldn't be that encouraging about using that particular antenna. Put it aside, use it for a scanner antenna or something like that, and find some use for it. Maybe it might work as a 6-meter antenna, though I'm not going to encourage you on that. I'm a little unscientific when it comes to antennas. I'm a fairly big proponent of, hey, try it out, experiment. If it works, fine. I had an antenna that a ham built for me for my HT years ago, and it was just a rod of copper on a BNC connector with a little copper loop at the top, not cut to any scientific length, and it worked beautifully on 2 meters and not too bad on 440. Let me reset. So I would think maybe even a CB whip, a CB marine antenna or whatever, 11-meter antenna, you're going to be a lot closer to the 10-meter band in terms of the length and dimensions of the antenna, would probably do you better. I think you can get some fairly inexpensive 10-meter antenna. A lot of guys do use the CB whips, though, and I think there's even a few antennas out there that are we'll get you on 10, 15, and 20 or something like that. But if you want to experiment with the 35 meg, you know, see if it works, why not? Just watch your power setting and don't blow up your radio. K6PDG, back to that.
Okay, thank you, Kevin. Good advice as always. Yeah, Dan, if you are using a Yaesu radio or one that does wires, Yaesu wires, one of the buttons says it looks like a little nuclear sign. It has a couple of circles, that like a crosshair, if you will. Or anyhow, you may have actually punched that first time I went out and helped out at the Niantic Bay Triathlon. I had my little Yaesu 65R, and I did exactly that. I accidentally hit the button, and it kind of drove the net control crazy until I unclicked it. But then again, that's a little different scenario. But a beep now and then is not going to harm anybody. So let's move on. Before we get back to Jerry and Jim, let me do another call out. Is there anybody else out there that would like to join us on the tips net? Please come now with your call sign. Okay, let's go back to Jerry first and see what he thinks about the advice that's been given to him. And again, for your second question, we're going to wait on that. So just respond about the 35 megahertz, if you would, NT10, KC1TWR.
KC1TWR, NT10. Yeah, that makes a lot of sense, what Dave and Kevin were saying, that essentially, because if it has that high a Q, it's going to work really well at that frequency and not so much at others. I may try it out. I've been comparing the standard G5RV this past week with the double size, and the double size is beating the standard quite a bit. And plus, I put that, as, I installed that as a V, and in the direction of the V, I'm getting as many as 4S units higher, which on my receiver is about 3 dB. So that implies 12 dB in that direction. So as I experiment, things are working out well where I'm pointing it. And I think I'll just try the half wavelength, 35 megahertz, as essentially a scanner antenna or some such. Oh, let me reset. However, I've been reading a lot about antennas in the last year, and I'd like to offer Jim, based on everything I've read, if you buy a commercial antenna, obviously you don't need radios on a half wavelength. You use it on a quarter wavelength vertical. If you buy one, and they will get away many times with as few as four radios because they're precisely placed. But as if we make our own and they're not as precisely placed, more radios gives us a better chance of getting it right. From what I've read, you can use more radials at a shorter length or fewer radios at a longer length, but more at a shorter tends to generally be better. And the length of the radials is never longer than the main vertical. A lot of times you'll see something from, let's say, 0.3 wavelengths down as you keep adding more. And finally, there's somebody I have a lot of respect for who does a lot of reviews, a guy named Rob Sherwood, and I was emailing him about a month and a half ago. He advocates using a screen. Let me reset once more. And on his website, he has a couple articles about the screen, and he has had far better luck using a screen, whether it's a construction screen or even something like chicken wire, though he says that's too far apart, and they tend to be fragile. He lists a number of screen configurations and the test results he's had, and putting down something like a 5-foot screen, inexpensive at like a Home Depot or whatever, that's 30 feet long and maybe crossing it with the same size with a 20-foot, goes down far faster, far easier, and has given him much better luck than he's ever had with any radios. So I do advocate that you might want to look into that. It makes it easier. Obviously, if your quarter wavelength vertical is elevated, then you need actual radials. I hope that's helpful. NT1L, back to net.
Okay, thank you, Jerry. I do want to ask you just one question for clarity, because maybe I heard it wrong. Yeah, we're in talking about 2-meter radios and antennas and so forth. You said that the gentleman with the screen and what have you was recommending 20 feet by 30 feet?
I feel like that woman, I think it was on Laughlin, who misheard part of the question. I didn't catch his 2 meters, and I apologize. I want to say, never mind. This was for a ground-mounted radio. For 2 meters, obviously, you likely wouldn't use a ground-mounted vertical. I mean, back to that.
Okay, no worries, no worries. Jim's question was that he built a quarter wave ground plane style, as David described, using SO239 with 5 pieces of wire. Okay, Jim, you've heard several different answers, and as I said before, some people swear one way by one methodology, other people swear by another. You've got to look at them, work with them, and figure out what works best for you. But anyhow, what are your thoughts about everything that's been asked so far? KC1PIV, KC1TWR.
KC1TWR, KC1PIV. So, good advice from all. Thank you. So, like I said, I've just heard conflicting pieces where, again, the radials don't match, the radials match the vert. I would definitely check into if we do need to make adjustments that we trim the vert and not the radials. As for an actual commercial antenna, I've been eyeballing the Diamond 30XA antenna that I might step up to. So I still got some options, but I guess my little add-on question to this is it definitely worth it to look at getting my hands on either an antenna analyzer or SWR meter, or even just have somebody with me hitting a couple of different repeaters to see how we're sounding in relation to what I'm doing? Let me reset here. Hold on. If those three are an optional dial us in, I mean, I want to invest some time into it, obviously play around with it to get the best out of it that I can, but, you know, I realize it's a homegrown antenna, and if I need to go commercial next to get a little more satisfaction out of the broadcasting, then, you know, that could be on my horizon too. So, KC1 PIV, back to the net.
Okay, quick question, Jim. When you say a Diamond 30XA, are you talking about the X300A? I'm trying to find it real quick, and I was unable to find a 30XA Diamond antenna.
KC1 PIV. So, Tim, it's the Diamond antenna X30A dual band, 2 meter and 70 centimeter antenna. Actually looking, if you do a search for Diamond 30 antenna, you'll see the ads pop up that the first thing that comes up is the X30A antenna.
Okay, got it. Okay, thank you very much. A lot of people, once they build their first antenna, which is usually a quarter wave ground plane, just like you and I both did, they sometimes then move up to building their own J-pole, purchasing one commercially, because that's like the next step up from the quarter wave ground plane. But that diamond is a halfway decent antenna, so I don't want to dissuade you from that either. Some people buy all their antennas as they go along. Other people prefer to make them from scratch. So, you know, it really depends on the individual themselves. Okay, at this point, let's see, I already did another call out. We've gone through the two questions, and I want to go back to Jerry. Okay, I'll tell you what. Jim, hang on for 1 second. Let me go back to Jerry. We're going to have two new questions for this round. One's going to be from Jerry, and the other one's going to be from Jim. Jerry's question, I believe, is going to be about hex beam antennas. And Jim, I think you had a question about whether it's best to just go ahead and get something like the X30A, or what would be the recommendation. But let's go to Jerry, then Jim, and then round to the top again. Jerry, would you mind defining your question there? KC1TWR.
Sure, KC1TWR, NT10. The hex beam looks like a spider web. It's an inverted umbrella frame is what it looks like from the ground. But it is a directional beam, multiband. I'm looking at it for 20, 15, 10, possibly 6, based on my reading of reviews. It works quite well on 20, 15, and 10, and depending on the manufacturer, not so well on the 6. My goal, though, rather than actually rotating it, I'm playing around and using some of the directional V approaches to seeing if I can come up with a design that is going to allow me to change its direction ability, at least in 4 nodes, and do it electrically rather than actually rotating it. I don't know if anybody has any experience with them, if they've seen a version of it or something that works like that, but that's really where I'm going with this, and just thought that I would ask if anybody had anything to offer on it. Jim, I'm using the Arrow antenna for my 2 meter and 73 centimeter, the OSJ 146-440. So if you are looking for any alternative beyond the Diamond or whatever, it's a J-pole. I'm very happy with it. It's commercial. It's about the same, $70 or so. I'll give you another option. NT10, back to net.
Okay, good question, Jerry. I think that's the first time we've been asked about a hex beam, so this should be interesting. Let's move on to Jim and have him further define his question. KC1DIV, KC1TWR.
KC1TWR, KC1PIV. So the question, just to open up a little further again, so if I decide to play further with the quarter wave, I'm really looking, like I said, a way to try to fine-tune it you know, as much as I can. And again, the question that I'm proposing here is, what would be the best way to do it? Would it be hooking up an antenna analyzer for it? Would it just be an SWR meter? Or would it just be having somebody follow me around on different frequencies and seeing how my signal's coming along? And you know, if like I said, if there isn't much satisfaction with trying to fine tune that thing, then I would consider either a commercial purchase or maybe even try building a J-pole. So that's the question I'm looking for. KC1PIV, back to the net.
Okay, very good. Thank you, Jim. So we'll go back to the top of the list and see what thoughts people have. We'll start with Dave, K1DCT, and ask him about the hex beam and 2-meter antenna. K1DCT, KC1TWR.
All right, good evening again, K1DCT. As far as the hex beam, I really have no experience with it. I've worked a lot of people that are running them. The upside-down umbrella, I think it looks like one of those clotheslines that we used to put up for, like, a small lot or something. Maybe in a trailer park or something. I know people that have them and they seem to be happy with them. I have no personal experience with them. So I can't elaborate a lot on that. Oh, and I want to thank Kevin for coming up with what I was looking for about the Q. Yes, very, very tightly tuned. As far as the quarter wave for Jim, I have an antenna analyzer that I would be more than happy to loan out, and right now it's out. In fact, I need to recall it because I haven't heard from the guy in a few too many weeks. So I need to wrangle that in, and if I get it back, you're more than happy to borrow it. That would be certainly a good way to tune that antenna up, get it somewhere close to where you want to get it in height, up on a pole or hung in a tree or something to, get away from, you don't want to tune it while it's, sitting on the ground or on a workbench somewhere. So the signal strength thing, that kind of works, but the antenna analyzer would really really bring that in so you can make sure you are tuned where you want to be. As far as the diamond antennas, or what Jerry mentioned, the Arrow, both very good quality equipment. No shame in buying an antenna. So, but of course you can make the J-pole. Get some copper pipe laying around. Copper pipe's pretty expensive these days, but if you've got some, there's certainly plenty of plans out there, and and then slide it around to find your match, and then sock it down in place. So all good options, and like I said, if I can wrangle in my analyzer, you're welcome to borrow it. K1DCT, back to net.
Okay, very good. Thank you, Dave. Interesting comments there. Before we go to Dan, let me just do another quick call out. If anybody else would like to join us here on the TIPSnet, please come now with your call sign.
AS1I disconnected.
Let me try that again. If anybody would like to join us here on the TIPSnet, please come now with your call sign.
Kilo Sierra 1 India.
Okay, that recognizes KC1I. And before we go too much further, do you have any questions for the net this evening?
No, I do not. It's Kilo Sierra or Kilo Sugar 1 India. I just playing around with Echolink and finding out why I don't have any audio. So I'm just kind of like listening to you guys and figuring this thing out at the same time. KS1I back to net.
Okay, very good. No worries, Joe. If you need help with Echolink, I'm sure there's a few of us that know that have some experience with it that might be able to help you out later. Okay, let's move on to Dan. Dan, I know that you're not very experienced with antennas, similar to me, but what did you use for your first or second or third 2-meter antenna? KC1GQZ, KC1TWR.
KC1TWR, this is KC1GQZ. Well, hopefully the beep is gone too. I am on my HT and in the ESU, so I'm not sure if the internet mode was on or if I'm having problems with my remote mic not staying locked in. I have noticed it slid out a little bit and tried transmitting without me trying to transmit. So hopefully I resolve that. Regarding the antennas, my first few antennas, the first three antennas actually were all commercial. Two of them were from Comet, and one is an N-feed. I don't remember the brand on that. Personally, I've only built one antenna, and that was the tape measure antenna, Yagi. Built it a few months ago, and I've used it a little bit around here. It is working, so I'm happy with that. I mean, I just want to start doing the fox hunting. But this is KC1GQZ back net control.
Okay, very good. Thank you, Dan. Yes, I built my tape measure Yagi. It's one of the Raycon functions, and had a lot of fun doing that. That was back when Harbor Freight was basically giving out free tape measures, and that's what I used. Okay, let's move on to Kevin. I questioned him about X-beam antennas, what experience he may have with them, or any advice for Jerry, and his thoughts as far as what Jim should do, whether to do a J-pole or maybe purchase that diamond antenna, or maybe you've got thought of something else. KA6PDG, KC1TWR.
All right, well, I picked up, I kind of focused on a couple of comments that each station made. I didn't write down who had what. I think it was Jim that asked about the 2-meter stuff, the VHF stuff, and I was just going to make the comment. The three different ideas, solutions, whatever you want to call them, were all three valid, and go ahead and use all those techniques in tandem, especially since you have our buddy Dave, who's offered to let you use his antenna analyzer device or software, whatever it is. I was just going to make the comment that I was brought up in an era, and yes, we did have ham radio back then, where an SWR bridge of some type, an SWR meter of some type, was sort of the essential part of everybody's ham shack. And for years, I figured I was the only one that didn't have one, and that was mainly because I couldn't find one that talked. Let me reset. Nowadays, I find that a lot of hams, particularly newer hams, and I don't mean that in a diminutive way, don't have them. And maybe that's because some of the radios have a SWR meter on them. I'm not sure, but it is a good tool to have. I know they're not, to get a fairly good one, it's not cheap. You can get the best of the best, like a bird, and they're real expensive, but I think for $30 or $40 you can find an SWR meter that works, but I still don't have one, so don't quote me on the price. On the question about the hex beam, one of the the question itself is largely above my pay grade. I just don't have the technical knowledge. I think it's a very good question, and I applaud you, Jerry, I think it was, for the thought process and wanting to think outside of the box, or in this case, outside of the antenna. But one of the things you asked in your question was, is there another antenna that does something similar? And my mind flashed on there was, and I think still is, an antenna that was vertically polarized, directional, advertised to work well on 10, 15, and 20. And you basically, I guess, flipped a switch for which band you want. The one I'm thinking of, the 11-meter folks used to use it on 11 meters, I guess with some success. I don't have any experience with it. And I want to say it was called the, Dave might know or something, but I think it was called the Antron 99. And I believe they're still made. And if I'm not confusing two different antennas in my mind, I know there is some sort of antenna that will do that. And it just basically uses, as I understand it, different parts of the antenna to radiate, I guess, based on frequency. So I've just shown a lot of what I don't know, but hopefully one or two ideas that may or may not be helpful. KA6PDG.
To share that with everyone else. So I thank you all, and
thank you, Kevin. I would like to get from you, if you ever think of the name of that something 1299, I'd like to learn more about that as something I could research also. Again, thank you all. NT10 back to net.
Okay, thank you very much, Jerry, and I wish you success with the experimentation. We'll next move on to Jim. A quick comment about the DNA that Jerry was talking about. It's quite a few people have kind of jumped on that bandwagon, and I will say that while it is a fantastic tool, and I do recommend it, buyer beware. We've had a couple that have had to get shipped back because they either had problems right out of the box or developed them problems shortly thereafter. So at that price point, and for what it's able to accomplish, I think it's definitely worth the risk to save your receipt. Not that most people had to send it back. It's only been, you know, a couple of people, but just FYI. Okay, so speaking of which, let's go back to Jim, see if any of this was helpful to him. KC1PIV, KC1TWR, and the TIPSnet.
KC1TWR, KC1PIV. So yes, it's been very helpful. This is my first TIPSnet, and yeah, the answers I got were great. As a matter of fact, you know, besides thanking everybody who participated, Jerry, I just looked up the nano VNA, and yeah, that thing looks pretty interesting. So I just might follow through with that, because this way it looks like it's going to have everything I want all under one hood. So that's good. And then I also looked at your Arrow antenna. Wow, that thing is pretty interesting. I think I'm looking at the right one, where it's basically a rectangular bracket, and it has three different size poles to it, hertz to it. And if that's the case, that thing's pretty interesting looking as well. So it's nice to know that there's a lot of different variety out there. And then, you know, when it comes to getting the job done, plus hearing what people are saying as to what they have has been very helpful. Very appreciative of all your comments. KC1PIV, back to the net.
Okay, very good, Jim. And one last person who joined us. Let's see if he's still there, Joe. KS1I, KC1TWR, and the TIPSnet. Any further comments?
Hi, KS1I. Not really. Just got done mowing the lawn, getting ready for the little mini heat wave that we're supposed to have in the next few days. Other than that, I'm just kind of getting set up for doing some CW, maybe on 30 meters, or maybe catch a net or two on 40 or 80 meters. Not really sure what I'm going to do before I go to bed. This is my relaxing time. My wife is watching TV. So other than that, there's not a whole lot to report. I just killed my firewall on my Linux laptop. Hopefully that will be able to clear up the issue with I'm using a Qtel, which is a Linux version of EchoLink. And since EchoLink is a Windows specific program, I could run EchoLink under Wine, or I bought a Linux version of that called Qtel. And so I'm going to take a look at that, maybe take a look at some ports, make sure I'm not being blocked by any of the, you know, none of the ports are blocking it and stuff like that. But other than that, that's all. Back to net control. This is Kilo Sierra 1 India.
Okay, very good, Joe. And my offer about helping with EchoLink, I'm rescinding that because I'm strictly a Windows person. You're going into uncharted territory for me, so unfortunately I don't think I'd be able to help you at all. Okay, we've been through a few rounds here, and I think it's time to move on to the next section. But before we do, any further check-ins, and more importantly, any further comments before we move into section two, please call now. Okay, we'll now start the second section of the TIPSnet. Does anyone have any announcements about upcoming events or items of interest? And Kevin, if you have .NET that you'd like to talk about, we can do that after people reply about any announcements about upcoming events or items of interest, please call now. Okay, a couple of quick items of interest. One of them is the fact that we have the Museum Ships Weekend event coming up down at the Nautilus Museum this weekend, starting at 8 p.m. on Friday and ending early afternoon on Sunday. It's a great event if you want to come down and participate a little bit. It's not like a field day contest where you're, you know, in and out and just quickly making contacts. This is where people actually want to ask you questions about the Nautilus or want to tell you about their connection with the Nautilus. It's always a fun event. Also, the Scrams meeting is meeting tomorrow night. Next Tuesday is the Tri-City Amateur Radio Club Zoom meeting. That will be, the Zoom link will be posted on their website probably by late tomorrow. And that's open to all amateur radio operators or people who would like to become amateur radio operators. Okay, before I pass it over to Kevin, because I suspect he wants to talk about a net, and I think he mentioned earlier he'd like to talk about this one, I will add that looking back through my records, yes, this started May 23rd, 2018. So actually, 2019, 2020, 2021, we're going into our fourth year, third year. I always lose, can't figure out how to do that. But I think we're going into our fourth year of the TipsNet. And you can correct me if you would. Kevin, do you have anything you'd like to say about the TipsNet or any other net? This is KC1TWR.
Well, I had a different one, but I think I'm going to follow your cue. Why not? We didn't remember to celebrate the anniversary of this net a few weeks ago on a date that would have been a little closer, but that's not a major thing. But we'll just, you've covered a lot of it. And I haven't looked at the dates, so you're more up on it than I am. I thought it was 2019, maybe it was 2018. But this net is... as you'll hear when Tim closes the net, is a service or a function of the Tri-City Amateur Radio Club. I have to throw in a personal net and a personal comment and say, after being a part of this net for several years, it's one of the best nets I've ever heard. I mean, I'm not one who rates things best, worst, and favorite ice cream and all that, but this net really provides a service. I think one of the things it's tried to do and continues to try to do and actually has been doing, and that is to attract more people, because the more questions we have and the more experienced amateurs we have who might be able to answer those, or inexperienced hams, that's some new hams that are pretty sharp on here tonight, it's benefits everybody. And let's see, we meet Wednesday nights at 7 o'clock until 8 o'clock. Let me reset. He told me, KA6PDG, it is, of course, as you know from listening, a directed net, but it's not a hard net to run, and the club is always looking for new net controls. So if you ever want to get your feet wet, I know it seems like a lot of work, and it is a long net in the sense that it goes an hour or so, but it's a pretty logical thing. There's a preamble provided for you and an outline of what to do when. So always looking for new net controls. People want to get their feet wet. But it seems to be a growing net, and I think that's probably all I have to say. So happy birthday to the Tri-City Amateur Radio Club TipsNet. KH6PDG back to NCS.
Okay, thank you, Kevin. Very good description, and I agree with you wholeheartedly. This has been a very fun net, and we've had some really interesting times. And, yeah. And I still remember fondly the year that April 1st was a Wednesday, and Chuck with his W1FJW with some of one of his stories. Thankfully, that's been captured, and you've got that up on the am1700.org/tipsnet. Every so often, I think about going back and listening to that. That was good. Quick side note to Jerry. I think NK1V Steve, who's usually here, I think he might have mentioned at one point that he did have a hex beep. So I'm going to check with him and see if he did and let you know. Okay, let's go ahead and get into the third section of the TipsNet. Is there anyone that wishes to swap, sell, or are looking for any amateur radio-related items? If so, please call now. Okay, with that, I'm going to do a last call for check-ins and a last call for comments. So if you have any comments you've been sitting on in your back pocket, drag them out and let's hear them. Any last check-ins or comments, please come now with your call sign.
NT1L.
Jerry, NT10, please proceed with your comment.
Just one more comment to Jim. Jim, if you do get the Arrow, two things I really like about it. Those verticals are solid aluminum. It looks like it'll last forever, and based on the reviews, that was something that many reviewers said, even though that have had them for many years. And I don't know anybody putting a lot of power through them, but Arrow says they've tested it up to a kW, and they think it could take 1,500, but nobody's done it. But if you're going to run more than the standard 50 or 100, which seems most of the 2-meter and 73-centimeter antennas were limited to, at least when I did my search about 6 months ago, I was happy to know that this thing could take pretty much anything I'd give it. So just wanted to share that. NT10, back to Nat.
Okay, very good. Thank you, Jerry. Okay, so we're going to go ahead to one last call for any last comments or now. Okay, very good. I'm going to go ahead and close the net then. Thanks to all who participated in the Tri-City Amateur Radio Club Tips Net, and to those who stood by as we conducted the net. I'd like to thank Dave, Dan, Kevin, Jerry, Jim, and Joe for joining us this evening. And let's see, where's my script here? Oh, yes. Also, we'd like to thank John W1AN for the use of the W1DX repeater, and Joe K1IKE for the Echolink connection. And last but not least, Kevin KA6PDG for the recordings that he does of the TipsNet, which goes back to 2018, and they're available if you go to the following website, alphamichael1700.org/tipsnet. Now, TipsNet is all one word and all lowercase. The Tri-City Amateur Radio Club sponsors this net and has their meeting on the second Tuesday of each month, normally at the American Red Cross office on Route 32 in Montville. Currently, they're doing it on Zoom. The meetings start at 7 p.m., and they're open to all interested persons, licensed or not. Information about the club and the meeting and the Zoom link can be found at www.tricityarc.net. This net will meet again next Wednesday at 7 p.m. on this frequency. I now return the repeater to regular amateur use. This is KC1TWR wishing everyone a good evening and 73.